all this week. A tumultuous tumble on Wall Street.
All I know is it took me 9 months to get to this point. It's only taken 3 days to drop everything that I've made.
Trading hits a record because of what some call a near panic.
It's the little guy is frankly scared about what he sees going on.
Fidel Castro comes to New York.
I have not come here as a prophet of the revolution.
A lot of demonstrators also show up.
Viva Cuba Libre! No Russian troops!
And the Carter camp cheers a victory over Senator Kennedy.
A win is a win. Is a win. And we won.
I'm John Bohannon, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. It all started last weekend. The Federal Reserve Board raises the discount rate, the rate banks are charged for borrowing from the Fed, an increase of one full point to 12%. Something has to be done, says the Fed, to stop inflation, curb speculation. On Monday, the first reaction. The Dow Jones Industrials went down over 13.5 points. Tuesday, another shock. Several banks raised their prime rate. The rates banks charge their best corporate customers. The prime up one full point to 14.5%, an unprecedented increase. Down goes the Dow again, another 26.5 points. Bond prices plunge. And on Wednesday, history is made on Wall Street. A record trading day, almost 82 million shares changing hands. At one point, the market down nearly 25 points for the day. Stockbroker Howard McLaren outlined the plight of a small investor who bought stocks on margin.
He's got to pay 16.5% or 17% to carry a margin account. That's about an eighth overnight, so he's just going to stay with something like that. So his wife is probably mad at him because he got involved in the stock market again. It would happen 10 years ago, but that's what you're seeing on the tape here today.
Many economists feel the Fed's action is a good one. Others feel it will lead the country into a deep recession. Elliot Freed of Shearson, Hayden & Stone on Wall Street thinks things will get better.
We think the Federal Reserve is doing the right thing. We think that inflation rates and interest rates will peak close to the end of this year. And once they're behind, or even before they're behind, while they're perceived by the investing public, that this is going to lead to a much better market.
The market didn't improve Thursday, dropping over 4.5 points, another 5.5 on Friday. At week's end, a loss of 58.62. The dollar, however, steadied on overseas exchanges. Gold prices dipped, something the Fed hoped for. But that's not all of it. With interest rates rising, major problems are developing in the housing industry. Many banks aren't offering home mortgages. In many cases, state usury laws don't permit the higher rates brought on by the Fed. Many banks say they don't have enough funds to meet home loan demands. And many depositors are putting their cash in money funds, earning higher interest than banks pay. Some homeowners are financing sales themselves in order to sell. Home builders are gloomy over the situation. Higher rates mean fewer housing starts. But Jay Ennis, chairman of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, remains optimistic.
The downturn in housing starts is going to be a temporary thing, in my opinion. I don't think that we're talking about anything of long duration. And I think that certainly by 1981, I think we can expect that conditions will return more or less to normal. So it's a short-run kind of situation.
But Donald Hovda, president of the National Association of Realtors, says higher interest rates are not the answer.
Nothing could have been more counterproductive to solving inflation and housing than the action that took place last weekend, where government, through monetary control, is trying to get a handle on inflation. It's only going to serve to soar up housing prices as soon as there is any backing off of these monetary restrictions higher than ever before.
President Carter expressed his concern over what's happening to the housing industry. He says something will be done.
Interest rates are too high. Inflation is too high. But we've tried to build into the system protection for construction workers, and especially housing construction.
In his commentary this week, Rod McLeish takes a look at the changing economic climate.
The gloomy pieces add up to a single condition. We cannot go on economically as we have before. Things will get better, but they won't be the same. What's happening to the economy of this country and others in the Western community of nations is not a lapse, but a change. Economics are indivisible from politics. Politics are indivisible from the people they govern. This week, a conservative member of the British Parliament was in Washington and said of Mrs. Thatcher's Tory government, "We can change legislation in 5 years. It will take us 10 years to change public attitudes. The same problem faces the United States. Fiscal and economic policies will get us through the present dark passage, but the light at the end of the tunnel won't be as bright as the light at its beginning. What's called for here is attitudinal change in everything from which cars we buy and how much air conditioning we use to what we do with savings. Preparing for that is what the politics of the coming season should be all about. Rod McLeish, CBS News, Washington.
The World This Week continues in 1 minute.
This is the International Year of the Child. Our children are tomorrow's world. What sort of world do we want? A world where parents have a loving concern for their children? Today, millions of children are victims of parental abuse and neglect. As a result, they grow up emotionally and socially handicapped. Love, not abuse and neglect, draws out the best in a child. Love gives him a healthy, hopeful start in life. Every child born into this world has a right to grow in an atmosphere of love and understanding. We owe to the child the best we have to give.
For a free booklet, write Children, Box 1197, New York, 10022. A public service of this station and the Lucis Trust.
Cuba's President Fidel Castro went to New York this week to address the United Nations. In the process, he created a major security problem for New York City police, who closed off a number of streets around Cuba's UN mission to keep demonstrators away. Thousands of anti-Castro demonstrators showed up. So did a number of Castro supporters. At the UN, Castro outlined his program for third world countries, asking that the rich nations cancel the undeveloped nations' debts and share with the poor. But Castro also had other things on his mind: support for the Palestine Liberation Organization. And as the Israeli delegation sat stern-faced and silent, Castro, speaking through a translator, told the General Assembly that what the Nazis did to the Jews in World War II is paralleled by what Israel has done to the Palestinians.
From the very bottom of our souls, we repudiate with all our strength the merciless persecution and the genocide that the Nazis once visited on the Hebrew people. But there's nothing in recent history that parallels it more closely than the dispossession, persecution, and genocide that imperialism and Zionism are at present practicing against the Palestinian people.
Much attention has been centered this week in Florida's statewide Democratic caucuses. The two stars of the voting are not announced candidates yet, and the results of the voting will not produce a single delegate for either side. But it's considered a major psychological battle. And in results that are not yet complete, President Carter has taken a lead over Senator Edward Kennedy. And the president was quick to react.
Well, our people out there were very pleased by the results. Much better than anybody expected for us. And they all worked very hard, and I'm very grateful for the good work they did.
Senator Kennedy, however, said he had his eyes on races yet to come in what is turning out to be the beginning of a very long presidential campaign.
I haven't campaigned as a candidate in Florida. Were I to be a candidate, I would be a candidate so that I would be able to campaign in Iowa and in the other states. Were I to be a candidate, I would compete for every delegate. I don't know whether I'd be able to enter every single primary, but I'd certainly compete for every delegate.
And that's The World This Week, produced by Harry Poloshin. I'm John Bohannon, CBS News.